Would you agree with me that we like stories about people who go from the rags of poverty and rise to the riches of success? Those are wonderful stories, aren't they? The latest one I heard was about Seiji Ozawa, a poor Japanese student who was taking piano lessons, and the family was so poor he had to mow his teacher's lawn in order to pay for the piano lessons. He was becoming a budding star, showed real promise, until, of course, he permanently damaged two fingers in a rugby match. And just that quickly, his whole life pivoted and changed from being a piano prodigy to becoming a world-renowned orchestral conductor. I wonder if his mother and father, when he was still a small boy in Japan, whether they were able to see how he would rise and become such a leader amongst his peers. Which gets me to wonder whether Mary and Joseph were also thinking, wow, maybe since the Lord of glory is in our family, maybe we too will rise to some new level and unimagined blessings will come upon us because Christ is our child. I have no idea whether they actually speculated on that. But if they had, I wonder if those first few days in Bethlehem would have answered their question for them as they witnessed the Savior's strange and wondrous birth. His was a lowly birth, but his was also a glorious birth. I speculate that in our minds, we kind of paint a picture of Jesus' birth that looks more like a Hallmark greeting card rather than reality. Do you kind of picture Mary as sitting next to the manger, beaming with such pride, looking like Miss America in a long blue gown and just filled with joy? Or do you envision her more like a young lady who's just had the worst pain of her life and is exhausted and overwhelmed and confused, sitting there in peasant clothes? Do you, in your mind's eye, picture Jesus as being this bright and alert baby who's watching everybody going by and smiling at them and maybe even lifting a hand of blessing upon them? Or do you more realistically see a newborn baby, weak and curled up and looking for something to drink? Perhaps more like that picture we have hanging over the fireplace. Think of those little fingers. That hand of God that created the universe is now little itty-bitty fingers clutching his mother's finger. And it would be that little hand that someday would grow up and be nailed to the cross to set us free. Reality. This tiny, helpless little baby. The reality is that Mary and Joseph were very poor. They were poor like none of us would ever want to be poor. Have you ever seen a dirt poor family coming to the hospital to deliver a baby? Your first reaction might be very happy for them. Oh, a brand new baby coming into the world. Oh, what a blessing. But maybe down deep inside too, your heart would go out for that family. It's wonderful that God has gifted them with a baby, but here is a family that's going to struggle their whole life long. Parents and baby, they are going to have a hard, difficult life as they try to make ends meet. Have you ever known a family like that? Of all the families God could have picked to have Jesus come into, he brought them to Mary and Joseph. And so consequently, he would know all the pains of poverty his whole life long. His presence in their home and their life would not bring them from rags to riches, but rags to rags. In my mind's eye, I can't envision Joseph or Mary ever complaining about anything. They're just so strong in their faith and so peaceful with the Lord. But I do speculate that had I been Joseph, I would have been doing some grumbling. Just think of it a second. Mary is 9 months pregnant, and all of a sudden she has to travel to Bethlehem. Caesar's decree forces Mary and Joseph to come to Bethlehem unwittingly to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament. But can you imagine how difficult that journey had to have been for them to travel with a woman who is about to give birth? I probably would have been a nervous wreck during the whole journey. And then when they get to Bethlehem, there isn't a room in the inn. There isn't a motel to be had, not even a Super 8. And so they have to give birth to their baby in the place where cows and sheep and goats sleep. Really? I think I would have been complaining again. Lord, is this really what you want for your holy child? Of all the places he could have been born, you're going to have him born in a dwelling that is only fit for animals? What is it you're trying to show us, Lord? What would you have the world to see by this way of coming into the world? Well, Scripture talks about the coming Messiah. And what does it say? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Let me read that part again. Made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Or again, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. God designed this from beginning to end. He designed this strange and lowly birth for his beloved Son, our Savior, all for a very holy purpose. He was not born to a rich or famous family in a palace or a castle somewhere. So often that's how this world works, isn't it? When we're looking for a savior, a hero, we go to palaces, castles, the rich people. We go to the White House or Congress looking for our savior. Or maybe we turn on television to see a bright and upcoming star, or a basketball court to find a hero, only to be disappointed over and over and over again. God chose to bring our hero, our Savior, into this world at a manger, in a barn stall. From the very first moment that Jesus took on human flesh, he was living a life of humility, lowliness, our life. And this was only the beginning. It simply got worse and worse and worse. If living a pauper's life is bad, now he's falsely accused. He's beat up by sinners. He's nailed to a cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. all so that he would redeem us, save us. He came to suffer in great poverty and anguish, and yet through it all to obey his heavenly Father perfectly on our behalf. He came to lower himself to be the repository of all of our sins and to pay for them with his holy blood. That was the whole point. He came to share our lowliness in order to save us. And so no matter how well we dress ourselves up, or no matter how big our houses are, or all the creature comforts we might enjoy, we still come back to the reality we are creatures who are lost, lowly, and hopeless in and of ourselves without our Savior. That's why Jesus is so important. He gives us life and purpose and hope. We need to be very careful that we are not embarrassed of his humility, his lowliness. He came to share our lowliness, that he might meet us where we truly live, that he might save us from our desperate despair. And that's why we can say that his birth is both strange and wonderful all at the same time. Lowly, and yet at the very same time, glorious. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Oh, this might have looked very lowly and humbling by human standards, but oh, the angels in heaven were singing praise. Even the angels in that field of Bethlehem could not hold themselves back. What a glorious night this was. Because God's awaited promise was now was being fulfilled. They were singing and praising God, not Mary or Joseph, because this long-awaited salvation was now entering the world. God was fulfilling his promise. And notice what they were singing. A Savior has been born to you. Jesus came into the world to be a Savior, not for the angels, not even for the demons, but for us. God so loved us that he would send his one and only Son into this world in such a humbling and suffering way, also that we would be ransomed and rescued and forgiven. God has given his Son to bring holiness and peace into this sin-filled, war-torn world of ours, into our darkest parts of our life and our existence. Notice how Jesus did not go from rags to riches. He went from riches to rags and back to riches again, also that he might take us from our depths of despair into the glorious light of salvation, his mercy and forgiveness. That we who were once enemies of God are now the very children of God through his holy adoption. Now there's a Christmas present that lasts for all eternity. Isn't it interesting how God sent the angels to the shepherds and not to Mary and Joseph? To the shepherds who were out in the field at night. The shepherds, in turn, came to Mary and Joseph and told them what they had seen and heard. And notice what Mary and Joseph did. They believed it. They hadn't seen the angels, the glories. They hadn't heard their song of praise. And yet, they trusted what the shepherds had told them. You and I, we haven't seen the angels' faces or heard their song. We haven't seen the face of the baby Jesus. And yet God calls us to to trust this report that he has brought to our ears. He's given us the Holy Spirit that we truly have faith in what has been reported to us. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. And so this night, the Holy Spirit leads us to do the very same thing the Holy Spirit led Mary to do, to ponder all these things in our heart. We trust them and believe them simply because the Holy Spirit has given us faith to trust in what God has said and repeated from generation to generation. We trust what God has reported to us. And so this night, we too will be able, just like the shepherds, to return to our homes thanking and praising God, glorifying for all that we have seen and heard. What have we seen and heard? The birth of our Savior. The love of God poured out upon us. The eternity in heaven won for us, purchased with that baby's own blood and flesh. And so we are washed and clean. And now we can join that angel song with all of our heart and soul and be at peace. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, what a holy and sacred night this is. As we remember our Savior's birth, as we turn with joy, dear Lord, to all that you have revealed to us through your sacred scriptures, bless us and may your light shine ever brighter in our hearts and souls and lives. Guide us by the truth of your word, dear Lord, that we might live here for you and in confidence of the home that awaits us, all because our Savior was born and died and rose in victory for us. Bless us in this Christian faith now and forevermore in Christ our living Lord. Amen.